Sukkodamm. Kultur, wo unter die Haut geht.
Hoi, du hörst Sukkodamm und für diese Sendung wechseln wir jetzt die Sprache. Have you ever smelled of rain? Looked through the eyes of a seahorse or had clicking voices whispering in your ear? You can experience all of this in the audio piece The Second the Water Wets Your Face, Reflexes of Your Aquatic Ancestors Kick In by Erika van Loon and Daniel Steiner. This audio piece was shown last weekend at the audio festival Sonor. I had the opportunity to speak to the artist and our conversation will be presented as a talk in the next half hour Sukkodamm. We learn how stomach noises can become an underwater world, what it feels like to do a backflip in an egg yolk, and what the audio format has to do with the blurring of boundaries. Let's get into it. We will listen now to an excerpt from the piece, The Second the Water Wets Your Face, Reflexes of Your Aquatic Ancestors Kick In, and the best way to listen to it is with headphones. Then you can really immerse yourself in the world of sound that Erika van Loon and Daniel Steiner have created. My name is Alex Regenas. I will guide you through today's broadcast.
The second the water wets your face, reflexes of your aquatic ancestors kick in, and your heart rate slows. See how the wet surface reflects the light. The glistening of the squishy tissue, flushed pink with blood. Small, bright, scarlet arteries and deep purple veins cover the surface. Brain tissue is, it's very soft.
An excerpt of the audio piece, The Second the Water Wets Your Face, Reflexes of Your Aquatic Ancestors Kick In, by Erika van Loon and Daniel Steiner. The audio play lasts about 40 minutes and was released beginning of 2024. It invites us on a wild journey, starting with the narrator digging around in your brains and coming across the hippocampus, a part of the brain that plays an important role in learning and remembering. The shape of the hippocampus bizarrely remembers a seahorse. And suddenly we become the seahorse. We float in a world of sound and light and explore what it feels like to be born from an egg and sink on the sandy dance floor to let our senses unfold in an endless bed of seagrass. Luckily, we have the two artists here in the studio with me, Erika van Loon and Daniel Steiner. Erika van Loon is a multidisciplinary artist based in Amsterdam, where she studied fine arts. She works with image, sound, and language, exploring the interconnections between human and non-human bodies and their environments. Daniel Steiner is an audio designer based in Basel. He studied music and media art in Bern and composes primarily electronic music for live performances and scenic formats. He collaborates with musicians, performers, visual artists, theater and filmmakers, and so on, in a wide variety of constellations. Hi, Erika. Hi, Daniel. So nice to have you here today.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Hi, Alex.
You guys met at the NARS Artist Residency in Schkoll, Switzerland. And at the point you met Erika, you had already been working on the script for quite some time. Can you tell us what material you had collected at this point?
In 2021, I was still starting like the research. I was reading a lot of scientific papers about seahorses, like how light behaves in the sea, how colors behave underwater. So I was mostly making notes, writing little pieces. So it was really the start of the piece. It wasn't into shape like it is now.
And you also took some audio material from a previous work you've done, which is called Your Brain Has No Smell. Can you tell us how that evolved?
Actually, Your Brain Has No Smell was was my first audio piece. And that's also how the project started. So I started out thinking I would write three new texts for a publication with this piece. And then while writing, I actually started writing a whole new audio piece, like the script, or it turned out that way. So part of the script is still the same. So it starts in your brain and then it really goes wild into like the sea. And also the hippocampus that you mentioned, that's part of the brain. So that was already in this Your Brain Has No Smell, and also was the starting point to really like get into this into the sea and these eggs and researching into that.
I guess after all this research, you must know some quite freaky stuff about seahorses, right?
And even the seahorses, it's not even the... Lots of people don't even hear that it's about seahorses. So it's borrowing a lot of... It's talking a lot about aspects of the body of a seahorse, but it's actually not literally mentioning it. So it's about chameleon-like eyes that can look both back and forward at the same time. It's about changing the color of your skin, male pregnancy, for example. So I really read up about a lot of these details and also talked to scientists, like biologists, about it.
You already mentioned that some people didn't get the seahorse references. And also for me, when I heard it the first time, I was so preoccupied with feeling, experiencing, that it was hard for me to have consistent images or a consistent story in my mind going through the whole thing. But as I get it, that also wasn't the intention, right?
No, it's really, the intention is that it's really immersive. So you really dive into it and then you kind of, the blurring between your own body, your own brain, and then being in the water and how your body behaves in water, how another creature's body would behave in the water. That's like the blurriness of where you are, what your body is, where your body stops. That's really part of it. Also how sound travels through water and how actually it penetrates the body. So it's really a lot about porosity and this merging into it and not exactly knowing where you are and where you stop and begin, that's really intentional.
And that merging in or that blurring of the bodies, how do you accomplish that effect?
Through the text, but also through the sound. So the mixing the sound in the whole piece, it's the composition is really part of the text. That was also really beautiful about working with Daniel. We could really work organically, and the text was not something separate from the composition of the sound. So you really, the sound is also an immersive element together with the text, and the text became sound as well.
Yeah, let's get Daniel into the game. Daniel, a lot of the sound work comes from you, and you ping-ponged ideas back and forth with Erica. Mm-hmm. The whole collaboration started because Erica's original sound designer was not available. You then kind of slipped into this project.
Yeah, kind of. We met in school in this residency, and we just figured out that we just both like sound a lot. And I knew about this previous piece, like from Erica, like Your Brain Has No Smell, also listened to that, which was more like characterized by kind of framing text. And I really liked the piece, but then we were also like talking about like experimental field recordings, and also did some recordings there. Yeah, and then from there was like a collaboration emerging. And in the beginning, there was like text, the script was already there, but not kind of recorded. So we actually started really with collecting material. So from my personal archive, from Erika's archive, but also we just did like lots of special field recordings and also like experimental. We had an experimental approach on how to record ourselves and what's around us. So we started really with collecting and experimenting with sound in general. What's special in this project is that we treat kind of voice as like any other sound from time to time. So there is not this separation from, oh, this is sound design and this is voice, and voice is only there to kind of bring content. It can also be just like soundscape.
And I feel like that's what makes the sound landscape so special, this sound toolbox almost that you've built in the beginning with, on the one hand, these experimental sounds that you collected, and on the other hand, how you treat language. I'd love to go into some audio samples. Maybe we can start with the experiments that you did. I'm going to play a few sounds and you can tell us what is happening there. What's happening here?
Yeah, that's bad.
That's a good question. So that's kind of, should I talk?
Yeah, you talk. I talk.
Yeah, what's happening there? Sometimes it's funny that I don't remember exactly how we got there, but I guess I have an idea about it, because we also at some time we found it kind of super interesting to focus on like the click sounds in our voice, that because sometimes if you listen to people and you pay attention to the sibilants or like plosives or the consonants, the T's and S's, you only hear those. So, and then we kind of isolated like S's and T's, like really by heavily editing it in the software. It was like always like, okay, we did an experiment. We had like new material, which we like treated again as like raw material for further processing. So it's like having kind of a dough, and then you cut it up and make like different types of bread out of it. So there was that clicky thing, and that was really also addressing like listeners, because the piece was made for headphones, and that's really a benefit because you're totally in control of like what people will hear and how close, when you're super close to people's ears. So and that was the interesting part about that.
Yeah, and also it's a lot about playing around. So we did some, I was speaking, Daniel was recording, I was doing some silly stuff, and then it turned, in the beginning I didn't know he was recording that stuff too, and he would then put it through his editing program. And then we'd find stuff. So there was also things we couldn't have thought of before that really happened in the process, lots of it actually. And also the headphones is also very nice to have, because it is a lot about like how sound travels to your skull even, and to have these headphones on your head and really, it's speaking about how sound comes into your body, and then listening to it on headphones is literally doing that, really enveloping your head with this sound.
And I really love the ASMR feeling to it. It's like, it's a bit like these influencers that eat like honeycombs in front of microphones, or go like, let me open the yogurt. I'm really into this stuff, but I have a sample that really shows that transition between voice and sound, and how certain syllables and noises are emphasized. Let me play that.
Mm-hmm. The rays of the rising sun reach the waves at just the right angle. Light falls through countless lenses. A stroboscopic effect.
Yeah, you can hear something that you did with voice. You recorded it just Erica talking, and then afterwards you recorded Erica whispering, and you put it together, and it creates this volume.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of sounds are really intertwined there, because so the clicks from, so if you isolate like a click from a voice and you just like work with like let's say synthesizers and like electronic sounds, they can be like super similar. So what you also hear there is like stuff being generated from like synthesizers that, but also like with the approach to achieve kind of a organic texture or quality in it. So that builds kind of the bridge between like sound design and the actual voice, and that's also something we try to achieve, to really embed voice. And yeah,
and also I think the whispering also goes well with all the breathing is really part of it, and there's also yawning in the piece. So also the really physical part of language is in there. It's not only speaking, but also the ploppy sounds of the sound, like the P, like the porosity that's in there. That's like really, we really played with this P.
And you mentioned that bridge between voice, that natural sound, and also the synthetic element to it that you, Daniel, brought into it. There's some other noises that you recorded, like watering a plant. Maybe we can listen to that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. How does that work?
It's done by a piezo mic, which is actually a microphone that's just like a little, let's say, metal plate, which also like builds, like that's the actual membrane. So just we sticked that into soil and then watered it. And that's what you can hear there. And what I like about this sound, that is not like, if you wouldn't know what it is, you couldn't guess. So, you know, there is kind of an organic or biological process going on, but it's not super literal. And I guess that, sometimes if you work like with spoken content, if it's getting too descriptive, it can also kill a lot. And I guess this sound is still, people connect a lot with it, probably, and build kind of their own image, but it's not too literal or descriptive to...
Yeah, not to illustrate. Like, it's like the text was, we really didn't want it to be an illustration with the script. So we, for example, it's like a lot of it is in the water, in the sea, but we didn't record any lakes or running water in a literal sense. Yeah, and that was a deliberate choice.
And that's interesting, because like the sounds that you used are literally everything else but water. You experimented so much. You had microphones in your mouth, and you even recorded digestive sounds. Maybe we can listen also into that. Okay, maybe not too much of that.
No, it's quite intense, because we also looked at like how much, like, because it's so like inside the body, and also the piece is a lot about what's inside, what's outside, almost turning the inside out. And then we also, like the ASMR that you mentioned before, we're also really playing with that. So you really get under the skin, but you don't want to go too deep under the skin, because lots of people will get super cringy when they hear like the belly making all these noises. At the same time, really similar noises to that can feel really, really nice and tingly in your body. So we're really also, that's the way we were speaking about sound when we were composing the piece. And that's quite nice in a collaboration as well, that Daniel's really an expert on sound. I'm a super fan of sound, and I really know what I like, but I don't have the language that he has. So we'd really also talk about like prickly sound or popping sound.
Hmm. Daniel was the one able to put those ideas into practice sound-wise, but you had to kind of develop a language of how to talk about sound. I love that you told me beforehand that you sometimes just said, oh, we need a bit more like bleep on this. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, we really developed a language for that. And also talking about like literally saying, hey, I can kind of not feel the sound like in my body. And then try to make it a tiny bit more, like prickly, or more like you can feel it in your chest or in your back, or you can find like a little bit of goosebumps. So really also listening to sound in that way.
Yeah, talking of goosebumps, or like in terms of immersive experiences, Erica, you already talked a bit about that difficulty to get close to people with the headphones, but also that there's the risk that you can get too close to people with like the stomach sound.
Yeah.
How close do you want to get to people?
Oh, I definitely want to get under the skin. So, I think the piece is a lot about like this idea of us and everything being porous, like this porosity idea, and also thinking about like how we relate to everything around us, the environment, and how the idea of being part of it and how everything is actually affecting each other. So your body is really not the border between your body and the outside and other creatures, emphasizing that, but also emphasizing this by this really immersive quality of the work, and also immersive in the sense of really activating the body of the listener. Also when it talks about like being in this yellow fluid and how you kind of float in that, and it goes over every part of the body. So really activating and engaging your whole body in the piece.
Sorry, can I just interrupt to explain that thing with the yellow liquid?
Yeah.
There's a scene, maybe you can explain it better. Do you want to try to explain what happens there?
Yeah, that's interesting to explain. It's a part of the script where you're actually floating in this yellowness, which is referring to being inside an egg. And then you're doing a backflip, and it's describing that, how you slowly backflip in this really not super liquid, a bit, what's the word? I'm thinking of the Dutch word.
Just say the Dutch.
But slowly, stroperig. So it's really slowly going over your body, this whole yellow fluid, and it's speaking really from like the tip of your nose, and then going over your lips, and then over your chin, and then the little pool between your shoulders. So really getting the listener into their own body, and then connecting that to bodies outside their body, and questioning if that's still outside or not. So that's in a way also the idea of like, where do our bodies end and begin, and how can we be empathic with everything around us.
I'm struggling to understand like how physical do you mean that blurring between bodies, or like that uncertainty where one body ends and the other begins. We were sitting in the Sonor cinema listening to that piece. Should I suddenly feel connected to the people sitting in the chairs around me, or how?
No, I also talk about bodies of water, which is something you can say in English, and I'm not sure if that's in German as well. For example, when the piece talks about, it's like how sound travels through water is differently than through air. So sound that you receive through water is only like reflecting on it. You can hear it through your bones. So it kind of dismisses like your skin, your flesh and your blood. So then actually the border between where does it enter and where does your body start? Like you're it's also literally saying you're liquid in liquid. So it's not only talking about like a human body or a body of a creature, but also a body of water as an entity, which is an interesting thought, I think. And also when it speaks about a bed of seagrass that you can see from the outer space. So it's really connecting these natural elements to more homey elements. Like your bed is like a small space, but then connecting all these different natural phenomenons to more close to the skin common elements.
I guess this comfort zone you mentioned is also important to be able to allow to immerse yourself and these bodies to dissolve, right?
Yeah, this relaxation, also the piece really speaks, like in the text it's saying relax, release the air from your lungs. So it's really encouraging you to relax your body and to have this floating feeling. And then also the sound is really emphasizing that, like really this floating low sound. Yeah, so the composition and the language is really aimed to have you relaxed and really enveloped in this environment. Yeah. And the idea of like looking at the etymology of immersion, it's really also like it's something that you completely get into, but immersion is actually referring to being in liquid and being plunged into something in a fluid. Couldn't be tighter. If it's fluid, it's touching every cell of the skin instead of a hug that's touching part of the body. Hugs are also part of the piece, by the way.
Yeah, and immersion is also like, it's also a term in audio, and it was like for us also important to think of what means like immersion, like for ourselves. Immersion like also means like building a like space for imagination, or often is like kind of represented in the piece as like a super like rumbly kind of low frequency atmosphere that kind of works like, you know, the pillow you rub around your ears probably.
And I guess you guys were also in a sort of immersive space when you constructed this piece, right? You told me you could have just gone on and on forever, but then suddenly there was this deadline.
Yeah, it was really a rabbit hole. Yeah, we had this deadline but we were working so detailed, and it was, we could, like little things like, oh, you could feel it a bit more, or this could be tuned in like a millisecond more or less. It was definitely a rabbit hole. Like working together was a bubble. Yeah.
Maybe this is also now the time to give some space to the listeners. I feel like we could also go on and on forever and lose ourselves talking. But we also have a deadline coming, and I think I'd love to leave the rest open.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Cool, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Rabe. Einfach gutes Radio. Rabe.
We just heard Erika van Loon and Daniel Steiner in a talk with me, Alex Regenas. Erika and Daniel are two audio artists who made the audio piece The Second the Water Wets Your Face, Reflexes of Your Aquatic Ancestors Kick In, which was shown last weekend as part of the Sonor Festival in Bern. You can find the podcast of this program on rabe.ch/sukutan and on all podcast platforms. Today's broadcast was provided by my colleague Irene Müller and me, Alex Regenas. I'll say goodbye for now and leave you to enjoy another excerpt from the piece by Erika van Loon and Daniel Steiner. Have fun.
This is funny. You're fully behind me, but I can see your face and your ass. How? Let's see. My left eye meets your face, my right eye your back. So in my mind, you're chopped up. Yeah, you're actually chopped up. And you're facing your own backside. Or wait, no, your back stays in my right eye, but then your butt just flipped. You're wearing your bottom back to front.